Take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 3.
Genesis, chapter 3. We've been looking at through the book of Genesis to learn about God. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we might know Him that is true. And the purpose of going through the book of Genesis, the purpose of opening the scriptures, the purpose is not just to learn and have a factual knowledge of God. That's important. But to have a personal knowledge of God. There are many names that we read about or we hear about in this world. Famous people, if you will. And you might know all the facts about them. We were at the Big E the other day with the young people, and we're one particular booth or whatever you call it in one of the buildings, and it was with all the sports memorabilia. And I was just looking, the young people were looking at all the sports heroes, and you know, they're looking at the ones of today, and I'm looking, I'm saying, wow, there's a picture of Bobby Orr. Remember Bobby Orr? How many remember Bobby Orr? Okay, so we get an older generation here. Or others. Yastrzemski. Right? And, oh, that guy that was a Celtics player. Yeah, Larry Bird. How did I forget his name, right? Most arrogant athlete in the world, probably. But I was talking with the young people, and I was pointing out, I says, you just look at those. I said, I watched Bobby Orr play hockey, right, in the Garden. I watched Larry Bird play. I watched Carl Yastrzemski play. And even though I watched them play, even though I knew their name and watched them play, I didn't know them personally. But then there's some other athletes. There was a Celtics player named Hank White. And you know, I not only watched him play, but I actually got to know him personally. Been in his house, had lunch with him because we were working on his house one time. And there's a difference. There's a difference of being aware of someone. There's a difference of knowing facts about someone. And there's a greater difference in knowing someone personally. The reason we're going through the book of Genesis is so we can learn about God, that we might come to the place where we know Him personally. And we've been going through Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and all is good. And then you come to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that your word would just speak to each one of our hearts this morning. Lord, that your word would go beyond our mind and our intellect. and reach down to the very core of our being and affect us and impact us in the way that you would intend it to be used this morning, to bring us to a personal relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, there's three words in that whole passage of Scripture that changed everything. We can read in chapter 3 and we can spend time looking at the serpent. We can spend time looking at the temptation. We can spend time in looking at verses 1 all the way down through verse 6. And we can spend all the time we want studying all that and discussing that, reasoning all that. But then we come down to chapter 3 and verse number 6 and three words that change everything. He did eat. You know, history is a record of events. Moments in time when things took place that altered the course of a person's life, even a nation's life, even the world's life, if you will. But ever stop to consider this morning those three words, he did eat, changed everything. The whole rest of the Bible. I mean, you read the whole rest of this book. My Bible has, I don't know how many pages. But there's a lot of pages in this book. There's a lot of stories in this book. There's a lot of history in this book. And it all changed with those three words. Think about your own life and how many times just one event has taken place in your life. And you know, sometimes events take place. Sometimes moments in our life, something happens, and we can just, it's simple, and it's just that moment, and it doesn't really impact a lot, and we look back and we laugh about it. Donnie, I can remember, and he'll probably remember. One time we were fishing in Vermont. You remember? Nope, he doesn't. He will in a moment. And I took him fishing. Boy, you know, I used to like to take him fishing because I thought maybe some fish would jump out of the water and just, you know, we'd come home with a trophy fish. We never did. But we were up in Vermont one time on vacation at the farm. And I said, Donnie, let's go fishing. So we went down to this river that we always went by. And it wasn't one of those spots where people went fishing. It was one of those spots where people went swimming. And there were rocks and everything, and they would jump off the rocks. But I get all excited, and I wanted him to get all excited. And so we went down there one day, and it was a, you know, hot summer day. And we got out of the car, and I remember I got my fishing rod, my tackle box with all the right stuff. And we go, you don't remember this? There was an edge. There was a big slope, a big massive rock that just sloped down to the river. And the river was about 3 miles down below. No, not 3 miles down below. It was a long way down there. And I remember we were standing, we were just looking down at this river, figuring out where we were going to fish. And you know, it's always times like this, you just remember some of the little things. And I remember this other guy getting out of the car. He had stopped to see the river, and he asked if we were, I don't know how he put it, but it was basically, are you a good fisherman? Are you do you fish all the time? And, you know, and I'm, no, we don't fish all the time. And about the time he asked that question, and about the time I answered, I took one step, just one simple step. Now do you remember? One simple step. And my son, who I wanted to impress so much in my fishing ability, watched as his dad slid on his back all the way down, holding his pole and his right into the river. Now, there's moments like that where we can look back and we could just laugh about, and right? And it's no big deal. Didn't really affect anything other than my pride. And other than the fact that every fish fled for 100 miles and said, get out of here. But you know, there's other moments in time where a simple decision that results in a simple action impacts a life forever, doesn't it? Think about it. Think about how your life has been impacted by one decision. One decision. I mean, my poor wife. She said yes. And look how that impacted her life. Right? She's been shaking her head ever since. But think of how much, and sometimes how seriously, one decision, one action, impacts so greatly. One man here, Adam, one decision. And you can look at all you want, but at one point in time, he made a choice. And then he did something. The Bible says he did eat. And boy, that one decision, that one action changed everything. The Bible says by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin, for that all have sinned. And this morning, as we look at Genesis chapter 3, there's so much we could look at Genesis chapter 3. But there's three things I want to bring to our attention in Genesis chapter 3. And the first one is the confrontation. There's a confrontation here. The second one is this, a conviction. And the third one is compassion. You know, there's many times where there's events that take place in our life and life goes on. Sometimes no one else ever hears about it. Sometimes it's just a moment in time and you make a decision, you make a choice, and there's an action. The consequences aren't great. And no one else knows, and life just goes on, but not with the Lord God. Here in Genesis chapter 3, it comes down to verse number 6, and it says, he did eat. There's the choice. There's the action. And everything changed. From that point on, from verse number 7, we see that everything changed. Verse number 7, it says this, and here we'll get to The confrontation was not between Adam and the serpent. The confrontation that we're going to look at was not between Adam and his wife. The confrontation we're going to look at is the one that we all have to seriously look at, because it's one that we all will face and do face. And it's a confrontation with God. And the Bible says in verse number 7, the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the tree of the garden. And here's a confrontation right in verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You see, everything changed. I mean, you just stop and consider. In chapter 2, we see the Lord God planting a garden. What a garden it was. What a place it was. No other place like this. Puts the man there. gives him responsibility, provides everything in his life, brings him a wife. There's fellowship and there's communion. And what a place, what a day, what a life. It's described. It's described in verse number 3. The Lord God, or in verse number 8, the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. What a place it was. What a fellowship. What a time it was. They're in the Garden of Eden. Everything is beautiful. Everything is good. They're walking and talking, and the Lord God is communing with them and wanting to commune with them. But he did eat, and everything changed. And look what changed. Instead of hearing the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, instead of rushing to the place where the Lord God was so that they could commune with God and fellowship God, instead of just desiring and delighting in that relationship with God, everything has changed. And now we have Adam and Eve hiding themselves. But not just hiding themselves, but specifically hiding themselves from the presence of God. Because the Bible says your sin separates you from God. And all of a sudden they're hiding from the presence of God. They're trying to clothe themselves because they know what they've done and they're ashamed at what they've done. And now everything has changed and they're hiding themselves from the presence of God. And you know what? Strangest thing. They thought that they could get away with it. They thought that they could hide from the presence of God. And all of a sudden, they heard a voice. Adam, where art thou? And all of a sudden, no matter how hard they tried to hide from the presence of God, no matter how hard they tried to cover up what they had done, they couldn't escape this confrontation. Couldn't get away with it. There's no place you can hide from God. And the Lord God said, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Now understand this. The Lord God knew exactly where they were. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, the eyes of the Lord are opened unto all things. All things are opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to deal. There is nothing that can be hid from God. And they were no exception. You and I are no exception. They tried. And they were brought face to face with the Lord. You see, what we need to understand is that that confrontation that took place between the Lord and Adam because of that one decision, that one moment, that one sin, listen to me now. Everyone in this building this morning has to face that same confrontation. Every one of us. No exceptions. You're not the exception to the rule. Everybody thinks, well, I'm the exception. My life is the exception. No. Not when it comes to God. Not when it comes to the Lord God. You are not the exception. There is no exception to the rule. The Bible says because of Adam, sin entered the world. And death came upon all, passed upon all, because all have sinned. You know how interesting it is, it? Such short little phrases speak so much. He did eat. Adam, where art thou? All have sinned. All have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible doesn't just say Adam sinned. The Bible just doesn't say that other individuals, says all have sinned. All have sinned. Try and get yourself out of that phrase. You can't. God says all have sinned. And I want to bring you to some verses of Scripture. I want to take you to Psalm 130. Because, folks, if we miss the reality and the truth and the importance and the impact of this confrontation the Lord God will have with each and every one of us, boy, we miss the whole point of the Bible. In Psalm 130, if you need help, it's right after Psalm 129. Psalm 100, glad I could help you out there. Psalm 130. Patience, my fingers are not working as well this morning. Psalm 130. Look at verse number 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? And the Lord does mark iniquities. But it says this, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? Who shall be able to stand before God? As God marks iniquities. Well, go back to Psalm 10 because it's an interesting thing. Because you see, the mind of man, you know, we think we're smart. And you know, there's some times that the Bible just shows us how much we are not smart. That's a roundabout way of saying we're not. You might think you're smart. I might think I'm smart. And God says, no, you're not. Because in Psalm 10 and verse number 11, look what it says. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. You know, that might be what you think. You might think, hey, God's forgotten all of it. Hey, that was years ago. He's not even looking at it. He won't see it. In fact, go down to verse number 13. Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He has said in heart, thou will not require it. I mean, think of those statements. God hath forgotten. Seriously? You think God forgets anything? I'm talking about God, folks. I forget everything. It gets worse, doesn't it? You scroll down your computer and a thought comes, I got to do this. 5 seconds later, you say, what did I just say? Right? You go back and you retrace your steps to try and figure out what you remembered to do, what you were reminding yourself to do. So you put it in the phone. I got to mark this. I got to make sure I do this. God doesn't forget. He will never see it. Well, the Bible says he sees everything. Listen, you know, there's verses that give us such promise that also should give us awareness. The Bible says there's not a sparrow that falls in the sky that God does not see it. You know the old saying, if a tree falls in the wood, how's that go? If a tree falls in the woods, will... Yeah, will somebody hear it? I don't know how. Well, I tell you what, God hears it, right? There's the answer to that. If a tree falls in the wood, yes, God hears it, right? But he won't require it? Oh, no, the Bible says every one of us is going to give an account. Hebrews, or Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, there was a man that the Lord dealt with in Luke chapter 12. And you see, you can go through life, and I can go through life, and anybody can go through life, and you can just travel on through life. But there's coming a confrontation that you can't escape. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 20. Here's a man that just going on in life, building and building and gathering, gathering. Life is good, life is this. And then the Lord said, God said unto him in verse number 12, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Think of how many people in the world wake up, have woken up one morning, made their plans, and never finished the day, but found themselves face to face with God. Over and over and over it happens. And once again, we can look at the circumstances, we can look at all things, but they wake up in the morning, they take that first breath, they get up, they dress, they clothe themselves, they eat, they start out their day. And through the course, something happens, and all of a sudden they die. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter how many years, doesn't matter how many days, doesn't matter. All of a sudden, they stand face to face with God. And all of a sudden, just like Adam in the garden, when the Lord says, where art thou? All of a sudden, they're standing face to face with God. In all the years that they might have said, he doesn't see. All the years they might have said, God has forgotten. All the years they've said to themselves, he will not require it. All the years they've said, I can live apart from God, not seriously considering God, not taking the Word of God seriously, not thinking about the consequences of my life and my sin, not thinking about anything else but me. And all of a sudden, face to face with God, and the Bible says, Lord, if you mark iniquities, who shall stand? Who shall stand? And the Bible says it's appointed to every one of us. Appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. And what happens? What takes place? Well, you see in Genesis chapter 3, we see what takes place. And once again, we can look in Genesis chapter 3, and boy, I tell you what, we go into great depth, and many times we We grow into great depth of study in Genesis chapter 3. And it's a good thing to do. But you know what the bottom line it comes down to? You can read Genesis chapter 3. You can read up to verse number 8, and all of a sudden you come and he did eat. He did eat. Adam made a choice. Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed God. And you can read from Genesis chapter 3, from verse number 9, all the way down to verse number 19. It begins in verse number 9. The Lord God called unto Adam, said him, where art thou? Now we come to one word, conviction. Conviction. It's like this. All of a sudden, one day, you find yourself standing in court. The court case can drag on. I mean, you can, your defense attorney can go from the moment you were born all through your life. You know, he can drag up every detail. Well, yes, Judge, I tripped on my shoelace and I fell in a puddle of mud. And that just destroyed my whole life. And as a result, this and that and this and that. Yeah, you can go through days and days and weeks. And all of a sudden it comes down to one thing. One word. Guilty. And Adam goes on. I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And the Lord said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me the tree. And here we go. Here's three words again. I did eat. Adam, you can try and color it however you want. You can try and fill the narrative with all the peripheral circumstances. But the bottom line is this, Adam. In Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God commanded you not to eat. You did eat. Guilty. It's like in math class, word problems. Boy, I tell you what, writer of the math book does his best to confuse the student with a lot of stuff that just doesn't have any bearing on the math word problem. If you got 10 apples, and Sally's got 30 oranges, and Fred's got a horse over in the barn, and the sun is shining, and Johnny takes one apple, and the horse runs away from the barn. How many apples you got? Doesn't matter whether the sun's shining. Doesn't matter. I don't even remember what the details were that I said. At the end of the day, let's get down to the facts. Adam, I told you, don't eat. You ate. Guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. The Bible tells us we're guilty. And there's conviction. And in verse number 9 all the way down through, we could read it, but you come down to verse number 19. Once again, you come down to the last part of that verse. Unto dust shalt thou return. The Lord said, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. And it comes down to this. Adam, you sinned. Death will pass upon you. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You and I are no exception. What are you going to say when you stand before God? You're not going to say anything. The Bible says the book's going to be opened and you're going to be judged out of the books. The Bible says you can keep the whole law. You offended one point and you're guilty. He did eat. We've all sinned. Adam, you're guilty. You and I, guilty. In fact, turn over to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, what a wonderful chapter it is. Most wonderful verse in all the Bible is found there. John chapter 3, verse number 16. John chapter 3, and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, we love that verse, don't we? What a verse of promise. What a verse of hope. John chapter 3 and verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a beautiful verse. But before you can appreciate those verses, you have to come face to face with verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned already. You say, well, wait a minute, I haven't stood before God yet. You're condemned already because you've sinned. I'm still here. I'm still living. I still have... Well, you don't know how much time you have. You might stand before God in the next 60 seconds. But the fact of the matter is, you're condemned already because you have already sinned. How many times do we read in the papers or see on the news that a crime is committed way back here, and all of a sudden it becomes what is known as a cold case? And then all of a sudden you read this story about how this crime that's committed in all these years, in 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, all of a sudden, new evidence comes to light, and all of a sudden, the investigation is opened up, and all of a sudden, a man or a woman is brought to justice after all those years. There's no sin that's ever a cold case with God. Amen. New evidence doesn't have to be discovered. Bible says we've all sinned, and because of our sin, we stand guilty before a holy God. Nothing to say, no excuses, no defense attorney that can plead your case. You stand before God condemned, guilty. In fact, the Bible says, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Not only are you guilty, but the judgment has already been announced. It's already been declared. God's wrath, God's punishment. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, the books are open. judged out of the books. Small and great stand before God. And if your name's not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're cast in the lake of fire. Genesis chapter 3. God gave a commandment. Adam made a choice. Adam disobeyed. Adam ate. Confronted by the Lord God, pronounced guilty, the conviction of sin. And we've all sinned. We're all guilty. But I'm glad the story doesn't end there. I'm glad that Genesis chapter 3 goes on and tells us something else. Tells us of the compassion of our God. Because in Genesis chapter 3, and I know I've been very brief in Genesis chapter 3, but the truth of the matter is this. Confrontation. Conviction. Verse number 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was a mother of all living. And then verse 21, and what a verse 21 is. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Aren't you glad that God did not leave them? In verse number 18. Book of Malachi, the Lord says something. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. In this moment in time, when Adam did eat, boy, that changed everything. But the one thing it didn't change was the nature of God. The one thing it didn't change is the character of God. And God is not only holy, God not only is righteous and just, but God is merciful and God is loving. And God is gracious. And God is ready to forgive. And God himself, no one else, God showed his compassion in verse number 21. Because it says, the Lord God made coats of skin and clothed them. The Lord God took a lamb that he had created. And he killed that lamb. And he clothed their sin by what he did. And throughout the rest of Scripture, there's a trail that you can follow. And it's the path of the Lamb throughout Scripture. Till one day you come to the Gospel of John. John the Baptist stands there and he points to one man, Jesus Christ. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, get that, while we were yet sinners, convicted, guilty, abiding under the wrath of God, waiting for that moment when we would stand before God. God commendeth his love toward us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know that same passage in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Once again, what a wonderful passage it is. But in Romans chapter 5, it says this. Verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Boy, if the Bible stopped there, once again, what a desperate place we'd be in. But verse number 15 says this, but not as the offense, so also is a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You know, one moment in time, Adam did something. He made a choice. And he disobeyed God. And he ate. And he sinned. And that sin passed upon all men. There was one other moment in time. One other moment in time. One other moment in time. Where another man, the man Christ Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the creator of heaven and earth, left heaven, came to this earth, and one day he was obedient unto death. The death of the cross. And one day, Jesus Christ was obedient and he died for you and me. So that once again, everything could be changed. And there could be hope. And there could be forgiveness. And there could be eternal life. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you look at Genesis chapter 3, one moment in time, confrontation with the Lord God. Can't escape that. Conviction, guilty. Can't argue with that. Compassion. The Lord God made coats of skin and clothed them. There's hope in the cross. Over in the book of Acts in chapter 16, there was another day, another moment in time. And there was a man, and he'd just been going through life. Had a wife, had a family, had a job, had a career. And things were going well. Everything's going well, just life going along. Until this one night when everything changed. This time it changed for the good. For this man was a jailer. And he was in charge of all these prisoners. And it was a very serious position that he held. Was it because in those days, you were responsible for keeping those prisoners in the jail. And if those prisoners escaped, it was a big deal. It was such a big deal that your life could be taken if those guys escaped. And that's been how many days and how many years he had been the jailer, and life had gone on. He'd woken up and eaten his breakfast and gone to work and just sat there and watched the jail and watched the prisoners. And this night something happened. There's an earthquake. And he's supposed to be watching this one prisoner named Paul. I mean, of all, don't let this guy escape. And there's an earthquake. And all of a sudden, The prison doors are open. And all of a sudden, this man is in dread and fear for his life. He says, the doors are open. The prisoner's going to escape. I'm going to lose my life over this. And he hears a voice. What a comfort this must have been to his soul. Because this man was so fearful, he picked up his sword and was about to take his own life. And he heard this voice, and it was Paul. Sir, do yourself no harm. We are all here. And this man was brought to face with mercy. God's mercy. They're all here. They didn't flee. The next words out of his mouth were this: sirs, what must I do to be saved? If by the simple mercy of God my life has been spared in an earthly event, what can I do to find the mercy of God in a greater matter of my soul that is guilty before God? And the Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And this man brought Paul, Silas, to his house. Paul and Silas opened up the Word of God, showed them what Jesus Christ had done. And the Bible says, they believed. They believed. You know what's beautiful about that passage of Scripture? One day this man's going through life just normal. The next moment, he is fearing to the depth of fear, to the point where he's about to take his own life. And because of that one message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And that one choice that man made, and he trusted in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the rest of that night was a night of great rejoicing. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. Because that's what a moment of salvation brings to your life. And so this morning, every one of us needs to come face to face with the reality of God's Word. Listen, God has given us His Word so that we might learn and understand reality, truth. And the truth is simply this: we've all sinned. I mean, you can dress in the finest clothes. You can even iron your shirt. You can pick out the fanciest tie. You can polish your shoes. Your socks can match. I'm not going to check. But when you stand before God, and all of a sudden, there's just one issue at hand called sin, what will you do? What can you say? Nothing. The time to make a decision that will change your life forever is now. Now. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that has heard the message of the wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I pray if there's someone here that understands this morning they're guilty before thee, and has heard that God in His love provided His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for their sins, that they might have eternal life. This morning, they might call upon the name of the Lord and might be saved. Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.